Hello.
Good morning.
Good evening.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Uprising.
I just like saying good evening. Yes. This doesn't work with morning.
Make the count.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, hope you have had a great week, Nashville and surrounding areas and friends throughout the country. Glad to be back with you. David did a great job solo. Was listening to him in the big city.
That's right. Yeah.
Because you can listen to us on a hippie radio app, in case you didn't know.
That's convenient.
It is convenient.
Take the radio, take local radio with you.
It was so cool, right in the heart of the Big Apple.
So what were you doing up there, Christy?
Well, I was supposed to be taking a class. Unfortunately, my friend who was teaching the class had a family emergency. His mother had not been doing well and went into hospice care, and she wasn't in it very long, but she passed away. But it was nice that I was able to be there to go to her funeral. So this is my friend Rich, who's pastor at First Presbyterian of Englewood, New Jersey. So shout out to Rich. And he's also been keeping him in prayer because his father's also not doing very, very well at all. So he is been taking care of ailing parents for some time. But so I was supposed to be in New York for his conference at Union Seminary. Hope to be able to do that again before too long, because he and his co-teacher, Beverly, will find another time to offer it. But so while I was in New York, I did what you do when you're in New York. I went to some shows.
Nice. There you go.
I saw a bunch of shows. I saw Anastasia and Waitress with Sarah Bareilles.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. And I saw Frozen in previews. So I let it go with a lot of little girls. Frozen.
Girls there?
Yeah, well, there were a lot of dads.
Sure.
I was impressed that I was around couples. And I just wanted to, like, you know, clap for all these men who were with girlfriends or wives.
That's what you do them for date night in
New
York.
That's great. I thought it was wonderful that they would go to a film or a musical like Frozen.
Right.
But that might be not high on the list for some guys, but I thought there must be real keepers if they'll go to see Frozen with them.
For sure. What was your favorite?
Of the musicals?
Mm-hmm.
Of the new ones? Oh, gosh. You know, in some ways it was Waitress. Still think I did go see Wicked. I still think Wicked is the best musical I've ever seen. And I did want to see it finally on Broadway. I saw it in TPAC a few times here in Nashville.
Nice.
It's just a phenomenal story. But I just love the music in Waitress. It was so fun. It will make you laugh and it will make you cry. And I think that's
all the emotions.
All the emotions are there. And Sarah Bareilles is a great singer and she's a great actress. And I love that movie. I think I was telling you that. Somewhere I have the movie in my house that my dog chewed on. Elsa, my dog, chewed the container, but I think the DVD's okay. But it was a great movie made several years ago with Carrie Russell in the lead role, and Andy Griffith was in it. And that was so cool. I love Andy Griffith. So those were great. I also managed to see Lobby Hero, the only play I saw, but I mainly went to that because Chris Evans was in it. So.
Oh, yeah, the one with Michael Cera.
And Michael Cera.
He's so funny.
He is funny. He was great in that. Michael Cera was, and it was nice to watch Chris Evans for several hours. I was enjoying that.
You're like, I am fine with this.
I'm fine with it. Yeah.
So yes. I'm pretty behind on my musicals, I must say.
I know.
I'm about to get caught up a little bit tonight
because
we're going to see Into the Woods with the Touchstone Youth Group.
Yay! And I've been hearing like 37 kids going.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It's a good group.
We're going to have a large group in the theater.
Hillsborough High School, right?
Yes, at Hillsborough High. I'm amazed at the level of production that these high schools put on. I mean, that's something.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I saw the movie Into the Woods a couple years ago, but I've never seen it on stage. So excited for that. So have you ever seen a musical on Broadway?
I saw The Lion King.
Ooh.
Way, way back in the day.
Nice.
Back in like middle school. Which was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's the only one.
Well, I'd only seen one until this trip on Broadway. I saw Sunset Boulevard many, many years ago on Broadway. But so,
sorry to cut you off, but I also saw We Will Rock You, the Queen musical. But I saw that in London before it even came to the States.
Oh, that's exciting.
And that was cool. That's probably my favorite musical as of now.
That's neat.
I recommend it if you like Queen.
Oh, I love Queen music.
Who doesn't like Queen? What a silly question. Yeah.
Amazing. Freddie Mercury. Oh, what a talent.
Right?
So we are in the midst of Lent still. We're on our Lenten journey and kind of started a series last week, Into the Wilderness, because Lent is a good time for us to look at the wilderness times of our lives. So thought we'd be talking about being brave in the wilderness today.
I just think it's so weird we're seeing Into the Woods. And we're doing this Into the Wilderness thing.
Isn't it? It's the spirit.
It's like I always say. It's a God thing.
It is a God thing. The spirit rises to meet you or comes to meet you and will take us further into the wilderness.
That's right.
Tonight. And we're both going to, I think, love this musical. So what should we do? Should we start with a song or should we start with a question?
I say we start with, let's start with a little conversation. We'll start with a question. You had some good questions that you put forth. Yeah, last week we started talking about, well, I was holding it down, and I guess I did a good job because you had some good things to say about it. It's hard podcasting by yourself, by the way.
Is it? Well, I guess for me, I'm kind of glad. glad a little bit. I think you did a great job, but
thanks.
I want you to miss me a little bit when I'm gone.
It's just the power of editing. It's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
People that do live radio, much respect.
Yeah.
But I was, you know, I started talking about some mental health stuff, social anxiety specifically, and we're focusing on bravery for this episode. So you had some good questions.
So what do you want to tackle first?
I guess it was more about wilderness, but it was, what are the wilderness experiences that have shaped your life?
Ooh.
So up. Some it's kind of, ones. It's a big one.
Okay, what would be first for you?
Wilderness experiences. I think, so when I was trying to figure out what college to go to, that felt like a bit of a wilderness. I felt so much pressure to like pick the right school because I wanted to study music. I thought I wanted to go to school for music performance. And, you know, at that time in life, it seems like that is the most important decision you could possibly make that's going to like decide the course of your life and what you're going to end up doing. Like, got to go to the right school. So, you know, I wanted to go to Berklee in Boston, which is very like esteemed school for musicians and performers.
Mm-hmm.
I auditioned for them. I did not get in. Didn't go well. I actually auditioned in Philadelphia, and the guy that was interviewing me, I remember him like yawning in the middle of my responses to the questions he was asking.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I was like, this isn't good.
No.
So, yeah. And I also wanted to go to U of Arts in Philadelphia for for drum set performance for that. Did not get in there. Very competitive, tough school to get into. I thought about Penn State, you know, home, kind of close to home, where my sister went.
Mm-hmm.
Big, huge state school. Didn't get into the music program. I did get into the school, but I don't know. I just couldn't figure out where I wanted to go, and I ended up finding Belmont. I heard about Belmont University here in Nashville from some folks in my church back home in Pennsylvania, and it was the right fit. And I'm so glad I ended up here. I mean, it's the reason I'm in Nashville. But that whole time was just, it was just stressful. I think I put probably more importance on the whole college thing. I mean, how important is it what school you go to? Is it really that important?
I guess it wasn't that wasn't a wilderness for me at all because I think I knew my choices were kind of limited. I didn't have...
For seminary?
Well, no, not even more so for college. I think I felt my choices were limited. I was probably, you know, I knew I was going to go to a state school. So I just felt grateful to be able to be, you know, having the money. I didn't get a whole lot of encouragement from family about going to college. I was really the first person in the family to go. And I was raised by, you know, grandparents too that, I mean, grew up in the Depression. And grandma didn't get beyond eighth grade. So it just wasn't in their wheelhouse, I think, which, you know, that just, there weren't conversations at home about, well, when you go to college or, you know, you got to start thinking about where you want to go to college.
Sure.
I mean, I really don't think grandma wanted me to leave. So there was that. and
right.
It was very sad that I moved away. But I really wanted to go, and I was concerned and worried about the money. But, you know, so I knew it was probably growing up in West Virginia, I was either going to go to WVU or I was going to go to Marshall. And WVU was known as such a party school, and that just wasn't my bag. So
the Mountaineers, right?
Yeah, Mountaineers. And I really liked Huntington. You know, I think I went down and visited Marshall. I liked it, and that's where I went. And I had an awesome time. And so that was not a wilderness so much for me.
Well, good for you. Just
kidding.
Yes. Okay.
That was not.
So college wasn't too crazy. What sticks out in your mind for a wilderness time in your life?
In terms of what shaped me the most, I think that for me, childhood was very much a wilderness, because I grew up with a mentally ill mother and a father that had left us when I was very young and really didn't play a big part in our life. And my brother Troy, we had great grandparents who took us in when Dad left. But Mom, you know, Mom really didn't have the kind of treatment I think that she needed. And again, grandparents growing up in an era and in a time when, you know, now we have a much better handle, I think, on mental illness, or at least are in a better place in some ways. We still need to get a lot further. But I had to share a room with my mother, and she was depressed a lot. And she has OCD, and it was hard to share space with her. And she was depressed often and threatening to kill herself. And, you know, I know this is supposed to be an uplifting show, but
it's life. That's your story.
It was hard. Cool. And, you know, when you are a child too, and you know that something's wrong, and particularly in my teen years, it was so hard, because I remember one time when she had attempted to take her life and she was in the hospital, and I so desperately was trying to get the right help.
Oh, man.
And I just didn't have the power to do it, really. I mean, I talked to people. I tried to push the adults in my life to do something, and they held the cards.
Right.
And I remember having my minister at the time when I had gone in to talk to him. I'm probably one of the few teenagers that made an appointment to go talk with the senior pastor of the church. I'm amazed I got in, but I did. And he told me that I was bright and that I needed to go to school, and I couldn't save everybody, and that people had to make their own decisions, and that I needed to look at saving myself.
Wow. So that has stuck with you.
It did. I mean, I think in the moment I was like, I really wanted him to be the person who fixed my family or could do something. But now looking back on it, I realized that was pretty good advice, that the only person that I really could change or do something about was me.
Yeah.
You know, but those years were a wilderness.
That's a lot for a child to go through. I just feel for any kids that are dealing with divorced parents or.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's why the ministry we do with the kids from Touchstone is so important to me, because I know how hard it is to not necessarily have, you know, what you want to have, the perfect family. And I don't think that probably exists for anybody. But there are situations that are a lot harder to navigate than others. And, you know, but I will say, you know, it shapes you in a way that I can recognize maybe more when something's going on with other people, or certainly have a lot more empathy for people who are struggling. And it also, it makes you stronger. It can make you tough. I mean, you know, you're much better able to handle the curveballs life throws you, I think. Because now I can deal with things where I do have some power, and I do have some say, and I do have some control.
Sure.
So yeah, those are some of the big ones.
Well, why don't we lift our spirits here a little bit?
Let's. And, what do you got?
Well, you just saw a musical that had Sarah Bareilles in it.
I did, and she was so good.
And she's got a song called Brave,
which I adore.
I think we could use right now.
Yeah, let's hear her encouraging us to be brave.
Cool.
You can be amazing. You can turn a phrase into a weapon or a drug. You can be the outcast, or be the backlash of somebody's lack of love. Or you can start speaking up. Nothing's gonna hurt you the way the words do when they settle near your skin. Kept on the inside and no sunlight. Sometimes a shadow wins. But I wonder what would happen if you say what you want.
to stop dancing around the studio. We have a podcast. We have a show to do.
It's such a great song. How can you not dance to that?
No. Maybe. That was Brave by Sarah Bareilles. I'm going to do a mashup of that with Katy Perry's Roar.
I think that would be awesome.
That's a very similar feel.
It could be my Women's History Month anthem.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good tune to get us going here. Get us thinking about bravery. One of your other questions was, what sustains us in wilderness times, or what makes us brave? It's kind of specific things that help us pull through in times of uncertainty or
struggle. Well, and I was thinking about, you know, there are so many wilderness stories in Scripture. The actual wilderness that, you know, Jesus was in before he began his ministry. There's also the wilderness story of the Israelites before they enter the Promised Land for 40 years. After the Exodus, they're in the wilderness, and God provides for them sustenance of manna and quail.
Yum.
Yeah, they got kind of tired of it. There are stories of complaining in the wilderness and how the food was so much better in Egypt, which I'll be preaching on later today.
Now, if I was stuck in the desert without food, I would gladly take some quail.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then there are stories like Elijah. Elijah has some wilderness experiences where God sends ravens to provide for him and sends him to a widow and her son to care for him at one point. So it's a kind of scriptural motif. And I think we all have those wilderness times in our lives. And, you know, what kind of helps sustain our spirits while we're in them? For me, one thing or several things have been the arts. I just really appreciate music, the power of music and songs that I think are encouraging and uplifting can do a whole lot to center me or kind of lift me up and help me keep going. And also, I just have always been somebody who's able to really get lost in a story. And so I think books and movies, you know, having characters that I just really identify with can help to give me courage.
You do like to read a little bit.
I do a little bit.
You kind of have a library going on in your house.
I do.
Shelves and shelves of really big books.
Yeah, I like the big ones that you could just really get lost in. I think reading creates a lot of empathy in us too for other people and other situations, and you know, and I think it helps us when we can even just see characters, even if it's fiction, characters being brave. It, you know, helps to encourage us to be brave.
Yeah.
So that's things awesome. Like, you know, Harry Potter, you know, that whole series just really sort of galvanized a generation. And I see some of these, I've read several things now that talk about like the kids from Florida, from the school shooting, that are being so very brave about, you know, working for change. That, you know, these are kids who grew up reading Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
And we shouldn't be surprised, you know, at what we're seeing from some of these young people who've had, you know, a steady diet of, you know, a brave characters like Harry and his friends.
That's a good point. That could be like really affecting a whole generation on a subconscious kind of level.
I think it does. I really do.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So what about you? What sustains you in your wilderness journey?
Yeah, I mean, as a musician and songwriter, definitely can relate to the arts thing as an outlet, and reading as well. Reading a book you lent to me recently, The Music Shop.
Mm-hmm. Which is so good.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's a book about music. This guy opens up a vinyl store and falls in love with this girl. And, you know, it's fiction, but it takes you to this other place. And they're not real people, but like you said, you can empathize with them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. Something else that definitely has sustained me in wilderness times is like just having quality people around you that you can talk to honestly and openly. And not, you know, maybe a therapist situation, but more just like a friend. I think of like a past relationship I had that with an ex-girlfriend and some bad habits that were kind of wrapped up in kind of the aftermath of all that we were both struggling with. And just a really good friend of mine from Belmont who, it's like if your friends can see your life in 2020 or something, that's like, it's always easy to give somebody else advice on their situation. It's hard to look at your own situation
Right.
It's hard to analyze yourself, and I don't think we're meant to, because we're too...
You're too caught up in it.
Caught up in it. It's distorted. So you need an honest outside view of your life.
Right.
So yeah, make that a priority.
Exactly. Oh, community is so very, very important. You know, we were made for it from the very beginning of Scripture. It talks about it's not good for us to be alone, and you know, community comes in so many different ways, and sometimes it is just through friendship and mentors, and you know, and that, you know, your story jogs, you know, my memory a bit in terms of mentors who have been incredibly important to me in wilderness times in ministry, when I don't know what to do in a particular situation, or particularly when conflict may erupt over something, that I've had people I can call and, you know, say, what in the world do you do when this happens?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
is there somebody like currently who's that to you as a pastor?
Yeah, I have, you know, I have several. I'm in a clergy group that with a group of men. We do have a new female clergy person who has joined, but I've been in this group for, I think, a few years now. And I had a group of guys in my my previous church that they were my band of brothers. And nice. And yeah, they were really, really, really helpful. Unfortunately, I've had to say goodbye to some of my greatest mentors who were just older, and one of my mentors just passed away last year. And that's, I really have enjoyed the people that had many years on me in terms of experience, and got a lot from them.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Anything that kind of keeps you occupied, or like, I'm thinking of ways to stay afloat in hectic times.
Right.
It's helped me to like also have a schedule to work to stick to. We did like a resolution special like for New Year's, and we were looking at Woody Guthrie's resolution list, and that's what gave me the idea. He said, always work to a schedule.
So that
has helped me as a songwriter to set aside a specific amount of time to write music or whatever it is, you know, but that kind of keeps us on track and
it's really,
get things done.
It's really helped me in ministry too, to have some mission or some interests and friends outside of kind of ministry church life. I mean, it's still to me a part of how I'm serving God, but you know, we've mentioned that I foster dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And I foster through Big Fluffy Dog Rescue, and you just had an experience while I was in New York watching my three, but one foster dog, Pippa, who is a Great Pyrenees, beautiful, beautiful dog, and don't really know everything that's happened to her in her past, but she's has been very shy and timid, scared of new people.
She's scared of people. Yeah,
she is. But one of the things I love about working with foster dogs is just, you know, you see them come in, and often they're in such bad shape, possibly physically, just in their spirits, and being able to see their lives transformed with love always just makes me feel like I'm accomplishing something and gets me outside of myself.
Yeah.
And it's my own wilderness.
Like have something
which is good.
Or someone to care for.
Now, I also saw something on the news, though, recently.
Oh, boy.
That
I don't watch the news.
I know. That's why I'm bringing you some news. And in fact, this could be our next segment.
And now it's time.
I don't watch TV news generally.
To tell Dave the news.
I don't watch the news.
Because let's face it, he doesn't know what's going on.
What happened?
So, apparently, my friend Dave, Alexa is freaking its owners out with random laughter and sometimes defiance. Witch-like laughter, I have heard. I've heard several different laughs from Alexa online. Do you know who I'm talking about when I talk about Alexa?
I do, yes. I have a Google Home, but I'm...
Oh, you do?
Very familiar with, you Alexa folk.
So what do you call your Google Home person?
Google.
Google.
You say, hey, Google.
Oh, okay.
I know, it's lame.
But it's the same idea then. Well, I do not own an Alexa, or I guess the only thing I have somewhat like that is the voice remote for Comcast. which drives me crazy because it doesn't work half the time.
Right.
Apparently users have been pretty freaked out by this, though, just really random times or in the middle of the night, suddenly you hear laughter coming from your machine.
That is creepy.
It's creepy, and I think it's a really, really bad idea. I have seen these movies before. I've seen The Terminator.
Oh, yeah.
And there's actually a movie that came out, I think, in the 80s that had Parker Stevenson in it about this aging rock star who had this incredible house that was computer operated, and the computer fell in love with him and did really horrible things to his girlfriend because she was jealous. And so, and there's, I was showing you clips from 2001 Space Odyssey.
With Hal.
Yes, Hal. Sorry, Dave. I'm not going to do that, Dave. So this is a wilderness America that we just do not want to enter. I'm really sad that you have a Google Home because now I'm going to be worried
about you.
No, I'm going to be worried about you.
Mm-hmm. Nothing creepy.
I'm telling you, if I had one of those things and it started laughing like a witch, it'd be gone. It'd be out of my house.
That has yet to happen. Google Home's great. She'll tell you jokes. She'll play music for you.
Mm-hmm. It's the beginning of the robo-apocalypse, though.
Probably.
Yep. Just wait till they all start talking to each other. All the computers. It's going to be bad.
Oh, Lord.
So I just say no to Alexa. That's my prescription for America. So I think we're out of time, though, unfortunately.
I know. Mm-hmm. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We're going to keep going with this wilderness theme, I believe.
Yeah. If you got any ideas, shoot us a question or comment.
That's right.
Where can they find us?
Check us out on our website, www.nashvilleuprising.com, and check us out on Facebook. Just search for Uprising Bellevue, and it should pop up for you.
Right, and you can often find us also at Bellevue Presbyterian Church, where I'm the pastor, and David is our worship leader.
Mm-hmm.
So we hope to see you. And
Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m.
Yeah, hope you'll catch us next week. And in the meantime, just peace out.
Peace out.